Good morning, Fair Plain Presbyterian Church. And we have captions and we have audio, which can only mean one thing. Power will probably go out. A warm welcome to our Fair Plain family joining us through live stream, joining together on live stream and CD this morning, and a welcome to everyone else who might be joining us. We consider you part of our family today, and if you have any prayer requests. If you have any, whoops, there we go. It's in there. What? Where's my prayer requests? Of course I pulled them out. If you have prayer requests, send a text message to 269-332-1118. That's 269-332-1118. I don't know why that's not in the PowerPoint, but oh well. Chris Corbett sent me some videos of the praise team, and I'm playing one of them for the anthem, so thank you, Chris, for that. And let's see. There was supposed to be a meeting for the Healthy Pastors, Healthy Congregations on May 25th. If you were planning to go to that, it's been postponed. I got an email from Doug Ports saying that it was going to have to be postponed at least until the end of May. Probably it'll be bump back further than that. If you need a fabric mask, send an email to office@fairplainpc.com, and you can get one of our members is making them, and she does have elastic. She said she sent out about 100 of them, and she's still making more. Let's see. I have an update on the crop walk from Ernie. You can call him at 269-930-3677 or email ernie.lewis@sbcglobal.net. And I have a... come here. There we go. Ernie says the target date is next Sunday, May 17. He wants to thank those who are participating or sponsoring, but says we do need more, and our own food pantry at Fair Plain is one of the 6 local recipients. And thank you to anyone who'd like to sign up to do the crop walk this coming Sunday. Oh, okay. And also, happy Mother's Day to those who are celebrating today. And for those who are mourning or struggling today because it's Mother's Day, our prayers are with you. Any other announcements?
Hello.
To see some by now,
please join me in the call to worship.
So, please join.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live. Now I invite you to join in our first hymn. If you have the blue Presbyterian hymnal at home, it's on page 482. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. O God, we have waited outside the door for you to heal our broken hearts and our broken world, but we are getting tired of waiting. Enter into our exhaustion, gentle Jesus, and heal our hearts and our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God forgives all our iniquity. God heals all our diseases. God redeems our life from the pit. God crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. We are reconciled to God, and we are reconciled to one another. Alleluia. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah 53. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You can follow along using the link above the video or on your screen. Listen for the word of the Lord. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring, and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I see the King of Glory. coming on the clouds with fire. The border shakes, the border shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirred as we pray and see. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. It's either on the link above the screen or right here. Listen for the gospel of the Lord. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed, and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah, "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you that technical difficulties can't stop your word. We thank you for the good gifts that you've given to us this day and all days of life. God, please help us to find you and see you and hear your voice in these your words and in this your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was looking at the scripture passage for today, a couple words I had ignored my entire life. I'd read the story so many times, but a couple words stuck out to me. They were, And those words were, can we go back? Okay, thanks. Those words were that evening. That evening. It didn't stick out until I started looking into the commentaries, and I'll show you why. It says in Matthew 8:16, that evening, that is after Jesus cleanses a leper and heals the centurion's servant by remote control, basically, and then heals Peter's mother-in-law, which, by the way, is the if I understand correctly, this is the only time that Jesus voluntarily heals someone. That is, heals someone without being asked to heal them. Thought that was really interesting. But right there it says, that evening they brought to him many who were possessed by demons. And I never noticed the words that evening before. I mean, I knew it was, okay, well, it was evening. But why? Never thought to ask that. Until I was reading in the New Century Bible Commentary for the Gospel of Matthew by David Hill. He says, Matthew presupposes what was stated by Mark, that the day was a Sabbath. That bringing out of sick people would be permissible only after sunset on the Sabbath. Why? Because in the Jewish tradition, the Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday night and ends at sunset on Saturday night. It's not a morning-to-morning day, because as you know from Genesis, there was evening and there was morning one day, right? So in the Jewish sense, or at least at this point, the days begin at sunset and end at sunset of the next day. That is, the next day at sunset is the end of that day, and it's a new day after that. And so Sabbath begins Friday evening and ends at Saturday evening. But I wasn't sure. I was like, really? Is that right? But I looked and I checked the parallel passage in Mark. Chapter 1, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. You skip to verses 29 and 30. As soon as they left the synagogue on the Sabbath, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Hey, does that sound familiar? So I don't think Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law twice, right? And then says, that evening at sunset. David Hill's got this right. It is at sunset on the Sabbath, meaning it's now the first day of the week, and you can presumably heal people without without breaking the Sabbath, which didn't seem to bother Jesus healing people on the Sabbath anyway. But he says, at sunset, they brought to him all those who were sick or possessed with demons. which brings us to chapter 8, verse Matthew, which brings us back to Matthew. He says, that evening. So David Hill is right that it's these people are waiting for the Sabbath, and that just opened up this whole new realm of possibilities, this whole new idea of all these people. Because if we assume, like Mark does, that everything that's happened on the Sabbath, that Jesus has cleansed a leper and healed the centurion's paralyzed servant, and then healed Peter's mother-in-law, you can just see like the word starting to spread and get out to the surrounding countryside, right? And everybody's hearing it, and it's spreading like wildfire, and everyone is finding out that Jesus is in town and he's healing people, right? Jesus is healing people, but they can't go out until the Sabbath is over. They can't go out until the Sabbath is over because they're going to obey the Jewish law. And I just love that picture of people just, there's sort of a tension building, a waiting, as people are waiting and waiting. And it, for some, maybe it was the longest day ever. Maybe they're wondering, well, what if Jesus leaves town and we can't find him? And the sun drops lower and lower. It's longer than ever before. And I mean, a rabbi wouldn't heal until sundown on the Sabbath, at least not this many people, right? And then everyone who's sick, everyone who has sick kiddos or sick parents, and they're waiting for the last little bit of sun to cross under the horizon. And the moment it does, you can see the mobilization starting. And there's the doors open and people go out into the streets, and then there's one or two, and then that turns into a dozen turns into two dozen, and then slowly this crowd starts to condense at the door of Peter's mother-in-law's house, or Peter's house. And then finally there's a knock on the door. And someone says, I am very sorry to bother you, but is Jesus still here? I don't want to bother him. If it was for myself, maybe I wouldn't even ask, but my mother, my sister, my brother, my child, my wife, who knows? They're sick. And I've heard that you heal people. I've heard that Jesus heals people. And Jesus gets up from the table and says, it's okay, Peter. And he comes to the door and he steps outside. And the first person, he says, tell me what's happened. And they tell him, they share the difficult individual story of what's happened to that person. And Jesus sits there or stands there and listens to them. Jesus listens to what they're telling him about what's happened to them. And just having someone to listen can often be a very powerful thing. There we go. And verse 17 there, he says, this was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He bore our infirmities and took our diseases. Because sometimes when you bear each other's burdens, as scripture teaches us to, we can carry around this sort of heaviness that person had on them. I don't remember if I mentioned this last week, but I was a chaplain in a hospital, and there was this person whose story just really deeply impacted me. And I went back and I asked my field head supervisor, my CPE supervisor, how do you let this go? How do you stop feeling this and be able to move on to talk to the next person? And he said, well, I guess you could become a robot. But apart from that, this is something that you have to carry. And I had always heard this story, this line, he took our infirmities and bore our diseases, as a sort of as a sort of atonement kind of theology that means that Jesus took our infirmities and bore our diseases on the cross, right? But it looks like in this context here, Matthew's saying that this business about taking our infirmities, carrying our diseases, this is happening before the cross when Jesus is healing people. This is happening before the cross when Jesus is healing people. So he listens and he starts to carry that weight on him of all of the things and all of the struggles and difficulties that this first person has had with trying to get their partner, their child, whoever it is that they have with them healed, right? And Jesus listens and he hears all of it because, I don't know, I've been in technical support and sometimes you do want it fixed, right? But you also want somebody to hear and understand and go, okay, I know what's happening. One of the first things you do if you're in technical support is you gain agreement with the person that you're talking to about what the problem is. You say, so I'm hearing you say this is the problem, and they say, yes, that's the problem. And I'm envisioning Jesus saying, so your wife has had all of this trouble for so long, and you'd like me to heal her. And he says, yes. And Jesus touches her, and he says a word, he speaks a word, and she gasps, and she cries, she hugs him, they hug him, and they say, thank you so much, Jesus, this was amazing, thank you. And then they walk off. And up comes the next one. It's my child, perhaps. Would you heal this person? Would you heal my child? And Jesus touches them. Says a word. There's a gasp, tears, an embrace, a hug. Then they leave and celebrate. And there's demons and leprosy. And there's all these crowds just as the day gets... As the day gets darker and darker, the crowds just are still there, and people come one at a time. They tell the story of what happened and how long they've been dealing with this, and Jesus listens to that story. And you can see that it's affected him, because we know as Christians, Jesus is both human and divine. And you can see that the human side of Jesus is just getting slowly more and more weighed down by these burdens as he hears each horrible, hurtful, sad story touches that person. They hug him, they thank him, and he sends them on their way, and it's getting darker and darker and later, and the moon is up. Demons, leprosy, issues of blood, broken arms and legs. Each one of these people is a whole person with a family who loves them, each of them in an impossible, heart-wrenching story of having been so broken for so long and vanquished with a healing touch or a spoken word. And you can see it. You can see Jesus getting weary. You can see him getting weary. And maybe Peter's mother-in-law offers him some water. Maybe those closest to the door gives them a little bit of food for their journey. And you just imagine if you were at the back of that line as you see the moon getting higher and the sky getting darker, and you start to wonder, what if Jesus leaves? What if he just stops before he gets to me? I thought I had a slide that says, he healed all of them. I don't have that slide. Matthew 8:16. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. And if I was going to be kitschy, this would be the time to say that I looked up that word all in the Greek, and it means all, but I trust the translation here. The crowds start to dwindle, and you start to wonder, if you're standing in the back of the crowd, is Jesus going to get to me, or is he just going to collapse with exhaustion and go to bed? And finally, that last person, the last couple people, the last family unit that's brought someone with them that they care about so much, asking Jesus to come. And they stand before Jesus, and he looks exhausted, but he looks at them. They say, "Jesus, are you okay, maybe?" And he says, "Yeah, I'm okay." And you can see him finding strength for one last word, one last touch, one last hearing of what's happened. It comes from who knows where. Of course we know where. It comes from God. And they say what's happened to them, what's happened to their child, what's happened to the person that they care about. And they hold that person before Jesus. And Jesus looks at that person and smiles and touches them, and they're healed. And they hug Jesus and thank him. And then maybe he goes and collapses in the next room. Jesus has time for us. Jesus has the energy. You might think that with the weight of the world on all of our shoulders, us passing it to Jesus, it would be too much, but Jesus is both human and divine and able to carry everything, able to carry it for all who are sick, all who are weary and tired, and Jesus carries that for us. Everyone who's tired as it's getting later and later, Jesus heals. Isaiah 42 says, "He will not grow faint or be crushed until he's established justice on the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching." The coastlands wait for his teaching. He won't get tired. He will not stop until he's done everything that he came to accomplish. Maybe that's something that we need to hear, that Jesus isn't going to stop until he's done doing everything that he came to do, till the redemption of the entire world is finished. Jesus is not going to stop. He's going to keep going for all eternity if necessary, until the world and everyone in it are all finally healed. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your healing. We thank you that you will continue to work in all of us and continue to care for us. That you won't leave anyone at the end of the line waiting to be healed, no matter how late it is. We ask that you will give a healing touch to anyone who needs it at this time, for whatever reason. We pray all these things in Jesus' good name. Amen.
In the Reformed tradition, we respond to hearing the word of God with an offering. And that isn't just about money. If you sense God inviting you to respond to God's word read in the scripture, or God's word preached in the sermon in any way, I invite you to hold your hands palms up as a sign that you are offering your obedience to God. Another way we respond to the word is by giving tithes and offerings. If you are mailing a check, please hold it in an open hand. If you are giving online through your bank, retirement account, or the Give Now link on this page, please put a hand on your computer or hold your cell phone up before God, or some other physical gesture, posture to symbolize online giving. If you are unable to give at this time, or if this is not the week you give financially, you may also hold your hands, palms up, as a sign that you are giving yourself to God, who has given us everything.
Prayer for the offering. O God, may the work of our hands and the fruit of our lips be a pleasing offering to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
We come to the part of our service where we share joys and concerns before God. If you have a joy or concern that you'd like to share, send a text message to 269-332-1118 or leave a voicemail. You can do that. I would do that now because the live stream's about 30 seconds behind. So by the time, if you wait till the end, I might not get it until after we're already moved on at the end. Another kind of offering, like we were said, besides obedience and financial support, is an offering of joys, or what they used to call testimonies, sharing the good things that God's done for us. And it's also an offering of trust by sharing the challenges that we face before God and one another. What offerings of joy or trust do you bring this morning? You can text them, as I said, to the number 269-332-1118 or leave a voicemail. Obviously, again, if you haven't done that already, they might be delayed till next week, and that's okay. I have a prayer concern for the family of Edward Strubel. Edward was Cindy Petruska's uncle. He died at 98. They had the funeral in Chicago. So we want to be in prayer for his wife, Pat, his daughter, Sue Preby, and their family. Like they said, there was a kind of a small funeral because they could only have 10 people in the funeral home at one time. It was a challenge. Also, want to be in prayer for my mom. She's been having problems with her shoulder, and she's finally getting surgery for that on Wednesday the 13th. So if we could be in prayer for her too. And I will be looking for other prayer requests. But I'm not really seeing any yet. Let's see if they come in. And also, it's Mother's Day. And seeing no more prayer requests, I think we've had enough time, I hope. But seeing no more prayer requests, there's all kinds of people have all kinds of relationships with mothers or with being mothers. So I want to say a prayer for them too. Let's pray. God, on this Mother's Day, we give you thanks for mothers who have or had positive relationships with their children, whether they were their children through birth or adoption or foster care. We give thanks for those women who became our spiritual mothers and those women who feel called not to be mothers, either now or ever. God, in your mercy, we ask that you'll hear our prayers for mothers who are working hard just to survive their children, for children who are working hard to survive their mothers, for those who wanted to become mothers and were unable to for one reason or another, for those who didn't want to become mothers and had to. We pray for those who struggle in their relationship with their mothers and for those mothers who struggle in their relationship with their children. We pray for those mothers and children who've given up on each other. We pray for those who've lost their mothers and those mothers who've lost their children. We pray also, God, for the family of Edward Strubel, for his wife Pat, for his daughter Sue Preby and her family, and how difficult that was to have a funeral like that, and for all those who have lost family members to the coronavirus and have had to go through all kinds of difficult things with that. God, we pray for my mom's surgery on Wednesday, that you will guide the doctors and nurses as they're doing their work. We pray for your help with all those who are considered essential workers at this time, that you would protect them, that you would encourage or push their employers to put in place all necessary and safe precautions to keep them protected from the coronavirus. God, there's so much going on, but we know that you will not get tired until you've done it all. So we ask that you will take these burdens that we've brought before you and carry them. Carry them with us, carry them for us. And give us your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to stand, if you wish, and join in hymn number 394, There's a Balm in Gilead. We move the passing of the peace to the end of our virtual worship service so that you can share Christ's peace with fewer limitations. So after we sing Go Now in Peace together, I would invite you to share Christ's peace with at least three people that you care about. Phone, call them, text them, message them on Facebook, send them a letter, however you prefer to reach them. Whichever. Now may the peace of the Lord be with you all. May you feel the release as Jesus carries some of the burdens that we've been carrying around for so long. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all from this day forward and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.
steadfast, strong, and true.